Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom again, family. Welcome to another episode of the Here Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. He's coming back again on another Monday night with the another radio show. So what I'm going to do is play one more song and then come right back.
Chicken, they mama. Chicken, they mama. They supposed to be leading our people.
broke down so long. We gotta start building each other. Killing each other. Gotta put them drugs down and them guns down. Gotta stop killing each other. Killing each other. We've been broke down so long. We gotta start building each other. Huh? Gotta put them drugs down and them guns down. Gotta stop killing each other. We don't start playing.
So again, family, shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. First and foremost, give all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. Secondly, I'll run through a few announcements. If you're in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, come and join us each and every Sabbath day at 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, Cincinnati, Ohio, starting at 2 p.m. Also, for our brothers down in Fort Worth, Texas, if you're down in that area, join us at Fort Worth, Texas at 2700 Village Creek, starting at 11 a.m., all right? And so with that being said, just not too much to talk about today, just kind of to, if you have any of your Christian friends, Christian family members, any of your people that's not yet awakened to the fact of the Almighty's Sabbath day, you might want to call them, have them listen in. We're just going to discuss some things concerning the Sabbath day, which is a very special day to the Most High, which is in turn a special day to us, the children of Israel. It had always been a holy day from ancient times, as the Almighty created the 7 days of the week, and some days he made ordinary days, some days he made holy days, as it is said in the apocryphal book of, I believe it's the Book of Address, which I'm quoting. With that being said, you know, call them up, tell them listen in, different things like that, because it's high time that is way too many of our people that are still, you know, going to church on Sunday and not even knowing and acknowledging the Almighty Sabbath day. You know, this is a basic, basic tenet of Scripture. It's a basic tenet of what we're supposed to be doing. If we're true followers of the Messiah, whose true name is Yahweh Shah, then we can see throughout the Scriptures that he kept the Sabbath day and the apostles and, you know, all throughout the Holy Scriptures, the righteous men and women kept the Sabbath day holy, just as the Almighty commanded us to. Very, very important to do this. This is how we establish our relationship with the Most High. This is how we build family among each other by coming together on this day, putting all business, all our work aside, forgetting about everything, and just come and fellowship, you know, with love and unity and different things like that. So where I want to go first and foremost is the book of Revelation chapter 12, and I'm just going to read the ninth verse in Revelation and see what we can glean from this ninth verse. Revelation 12, verse number 9. It says, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, so the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, was cast out, and he did what? Deceived the whole world. He deceived the whole world. All right, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Actually, no, we're going to go to the book of Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and 7. So we'll go. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 7. It says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So as we see, when we put these two verses together, we find out that number one, Satan has the whole world deceived. And the word deceived means, to be deceived means that you believe something to be true that is not true. That's what deception is. That's what deceived is. You believe something to be true that is not true. All right, and then the Messiah comes back in the book of Mark and says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And that's what we find today. You know, as we're dealing with this topic of the Sabbath day, which is the holy day that the Almighty commanded us to keep. But many people are keeping Sunday and going to church on Sunday. That is a doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. That is a teaching of men. That is not a teaching of the Most High. That is not a teaching found in the Scriptures. That is not a teaching that the Messiah taught his disciples to teach the people. That is a teaching of men. Men just came up with that and made it up. And what happened? People started to follow it from generation to generation to generation. And after a while of doing something so long, you think that it's true and you believe that it's true. And after doing it so long, what do? You pass it down to your children as if this is the commandment of the Most High. And do your children grow up thinking, well, my parents always taught me that this is what we're supposed to do. And very few people ever go back to check and to verify the things that they were told. All right. And that's how this whole thing happens. All right. That's exactly how it happens. So if we go to the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, and this is where we find the Ten Commandments that the Almighty wrote with his own finger on two tablets, delivered them to Moses, which in turn he delivered them to the Almighty's people. So it says in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8,
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Sabbath day is a blessed day, and it's a day that the Almighty hallowed or made holy. All right, it is a holy day, and it is a blessed day, a day that we're supposed to come together and have a holy convocation from week to week to week. We need to look forward to it. You know, we go out and work all week to provide for our families and everything that our people do, and this is the day that we all come together as one big family. All right? So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. And take this recording, play it back for your family members that are unaware of the Sabbath, and hopefully it can help to wake them up. And what's interesting about Acts, the book of Acts, is this is after the Messiah had already came to earth, did all the miracles, walked with his disciples, talked with them. This is after he died, rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights, ascended back up into the heavens at this point, and this is what we read. Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Now, when they had passed through Aphilius and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So what did Paul do? He came to Thessalonica, all right? And when he came to that certain city, there was a synagogue that the Jews had set up, that our people had set up. And Paul stayed for how long? For 3 weeks or three Sabbath days. He went in and reasoned with them out of the scriptures. All right, for three Sabbath days. Because why? This is the time that the Almighty set aside for us to have a holy convocation, to gather together, to honor and to praise Yahweh and to worship Yahweh and to have a holy convocation and to have a feast. And to all, do all these things that the Sabbath day consists of. It is a rest day. It is a feast day. It is a holy convocation. It is a day of worship and praise. And it is a day of reading the scriptures and learning and teaching and all of these different things all in one. All right? So we see that in Acts 17. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. Let's see. During the life of the Messiah, or the one that they call Christ, during his life, what did he do while he was on earth? Because truly, many of our people would say he is our example. Many Christians would say he is our example. We're supposed to follow him. All right? Well, you can't follow him if you don't know what he did. Follow him means just as you did, that's what I'm going to do. All right? And they'll tell you that Christian means I am a follower of Christ. All right, well, let's see. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse number 14. What does it say? It says, and Yahweh shall return in the power and spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So he went and taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So he went back to his hometown. And what did he do? And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So as his custom was, when he got back to his hometown, what did he do? He went into the synagogue and stood up to read on the Sabbath day. because the Messiah always kept the Sabbath day. If it's your custom to do something, that means you always did it. This wasn't a one-time event. He kept the Sabbath every week, from week to week to week. Where if you're truly a follower of the Messiah, as we are supposed to be, as we're all supposed to be, then we will be keeping what? The Sabbath day, from week to week. And we will be going to where on the Sabbath day? To the synagogue on the Sabbath day and reading the scriptures and learning the scriptures. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what this whole thing is all about. The Almighty left this word for us as our instructions to get back to the Garden of Eden, to get back to the tree of life. Remember, Adam was in the garden with his wife Eve, and they had the tree of life. The tree of life symbolizes you can live forever. All right, that's what we're trying to get back to. Get back to that non-fallen state. Get back to that tree of life so the Almighty can bless us with what? Everlasting life, which is the gift that he promised to the righteous. All right, so we got the book of Acts. We have Luke chapter 4. Let's go now to, let's just skip around a little bit. Let's go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. It's always good to get rejuvenated, you know, even if it's, we're dealing with scriptures and things that you already know. It's always good to get rejuvenated with these things. A lot of times when you hear something more than once, you will see something in it that you didn't see the previous times that you have been presented with this information. So Exodus 31, I'm going to start at verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whomsoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy to Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So this is what we're seeing in this verse. So we see it says from generation unto generation. So these things were supposed to be what? Passed down from generation to generation, that our people will know. Each generation continuously keep the Sabbath day. This is a covenant that our people have with the Almighty. It's part of the great covenant that was made with our people at Mount Sinai. All right, so Exodus 31. Let's go to the book of Acts again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13. And I'll read verses 13 through 15. The book of Acts, chapter number 13. Starting at verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Poseidon, and went in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. All right, so we see the same thing here, that we have the Paul going to where? The synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, the same thing that we're doing these days. So when you look back and you examine these things, and as we read the scriptures and you start to look at the different religions around the world, and once you establish this Sabbath day, when you're trying to find truth, this is a great start. Because once you establish this day, which is very easy to establish throughout scripture, all right, very easy to establish. Once this day is established, then it causes a whole lot less confusion for people, because our people don't know. Our people are looking for truth. They're looking for the right religion. They're looking for, should I be Catholic, or should I be Methodist, or should I try Islam, or what should I do? And then should I be a witness, or what about the Mormons? And I hear these people saying we're Israelites and all these different things. But once this Sabbath day is established, you know what that does? It knocks out 99% of all the other religions. Once we can see throughout these scriptures that the Sabbath day is what we're supposed to keep, then we can forget about Islam, Catholicism, you know, Episcopalian, Mormons. I mean, we can literally eliminate 99% of the religions out there, right? Then we're left with a very small group to choose from, you know. We're left with a very small group, you know, and then it won't be too hard after that. Once we get that together, then we can pretty much go from there. But that's why this day is so important. That's why this day must be established, because it eliminates a lot of confusion. Remember, the scripture says the Almighty is not the author of confusion, right? So he didn't leave us in the dark about which day he made holy. The Almighty didn't leave us in the dark about which day was the holy day or any of that thing or anything like that, you know. So that's a great thing in dealing with this, a very, very great thing. But let's go to 1 John chapter number 2, because we established in the law when we read Exodus that the Sabbath is part of the commandments. It's right in the Ten Commandments. We read these scriptures that the Messiah kept the Sabbath day. We read where Paul kept the Sabbath day and some of the other apostles. But then we also read that the Sabbath day was even kept after the Messiah died, rose from the dead, and ascended back up into heavens. Because when you read the book of Acts, all of that had already happened. So they were still keeping the Sabbath day even at that point. So one can't come to tell you that, hey, once he died, you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. Well, obviously, the people in the scriptures didn't think that. The apostles didn't think that, because they continued to keep it. And so if we go to 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 2 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 through 6 says, "And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." So this is how you know that you know the Most High, if you keep his commandments. Verse 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So what are we saying? What is the scripture saying? It is saying that, first of all, the Sabbath day is part of the commandments. And if you say you know the Most High and do not keep any of his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Verse 5, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him." Verse 6, "He that saith, I abide in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So let me read that verse 6 again. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." So what is that saying? If you're saying that the Messiah abides in you and you abide in the Messiah, then you should what? Walk as he walked. And how did he walk? What did we read? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He kept the Sabbath. And what do? The righteous keep the Sabbath day. Where do we go? To the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This is what we can clearly read that the Messiah did. And if we're following his footsteps, then this is what we do. All right? We don't read that he went and kept the first day of the week holy. You know, we don't read that. Now, so there's no confusion about anything. What we will say that we live holy every day. All right? But every day is not a holy day. Okay, meaning we are supposed to keep the Almighty commandments every day, meaning we should pray every day. We should walk humbly with the Most High every day. We should love each other every day. We should keep his other commandments every day, meaning do not eat unclean foods on any day of the week. All right, but when it comes to the Sabbath day, this is the day totally set aside where we're not doing our own work and not doing our own business and not worried about everything else. This day is set aside to build a relationship with our Heavenly Father, all right, with Elohim. That's what this day is about, and that's what the day is for, all right? And if you notice, when you do this and you start to do this, this is when the Almighty starts to have you grow in your understanding. You know, the more you do this and you set time aside to do these things, you start to grow in your understanding. As the scripture says, you know, a good understanding have all day that keep his commandments. All right? And this is a part of that. And then if you look on the other hand and you look at the people that don't keep the Sabbath day, they never understand anything in the scriptures. It can be the simplest thing or the simplest verse. And you'll say, read this, and what does it mean? And they'll have no idea. Right? So why won't they have any idea? Because they do not keep the Almighty's Sabbath day. They do not keep the Almighty's other commandments. That's why the scripture says a good understanding have all day that keep his commandments. All right, and that's where that whole thing, that's how that whole thing works. So let me hit a few more verses. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Leviticus chapter 23. Verses 1, 2, and 3. And then anyone online, if you have any comments or questions, you know, go ahead and push 1. I can get you right on. You know, not really going too deep into anything, but Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 1, reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh. Let me start back. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings." All right, so this is the commandment we have here in Leviticus 23, talking about the Sabbath again. All right, how 6 days you may do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a holy convocation. All right, so we can go all through this book, whether we're dealing with the law books, the books of the prophets, you know, the writings, the Gospels, anywhere throughout the pages of this book, we could see this day well established. All right. So another great verse I want to go to now is the book of Isaiah chapter 66, because this is a very important verse as well when you're dealing with this day and you're trying to, you know, wake up our people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When you're trying to wake them up, I find this to be a very good verse as well, just because of the context. You'll see when we get there. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. It says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath day to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh." So this scripture is good because it shows that even in the future, in the far future, after the Almighty makes a new heaven and a new earth, the Sabbath day is still the holy day, right? So we see it all the way back to the commandments, and we see it all the way even in the future. So no one can't come and say, you know, no, that's all done away with now. No, the Almighty is even saying after he creates a new heaven and a new earth, the Sabbath day is still very well established that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, this is the time the Almighty set aside for all flesh to come up to worship before the Almighty, even after the new heaven and the new earth is created, right? Because really nothing has changed. Because when we go back to Genesis 1, what do we see? Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Almighty created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Most High rested, right, and was refreshed. And on that seventh day, the Most High did what? He blessed that day, and he hallowed that day. made it holy, and he sanctified that day, which means he set it apart. He set that day apart from all the other days of the week. The Sabbath day is not like the other days of the week. All right, so just dealing with these verses. So let's now go to Acts chapter 18. Book of Acts chapter 18. We get there. I'll read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Acts chapter 18. All right, Acts 18, beginning of verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had condemned all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So again, we see in the same thing all throughout the scriptures. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and he persuaded who? The Jews and the Greeks. All right. So we're just seeing here consistency. Consistency throughout the scriptures all the way through. So this is a day that is very much established. And like I said before, when you establish this day among our people, when you establish this day among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as we are always seeking and endeavoring to do, then it can help to remove away some of the blinders that our people have on them about, you know, whatever particular persuasion they may be persuaded by, whether it's the Baptist religion, whether it's Methodist or whatever it may be, you know, even if it's Islam. You know, we can well establish this Sabbath day in our holy scriptures, you know, because the religion of Islam, a lot of them do still go by and read the scriptures that we read. And we can establish that here, you know. But if we need to, we can also establish the Sabbath day in the Quran as well, you know. For those that don't know, the Sabbath day is mentioned in the Quran. It talks about the Sabbath day. It tells them to keep the Sabbath day in the Quran. So, you know, it's just the Almighty is very consistent throughout the scriptures. Also, what the Quran tells them is this. It tells them, and maybe one day I'll do a show dealing with Islam. But for now, just let you guys know, the Quran tells Muslims to keep the Sabbath. The Quran also tells Muslims that if you want to know anything or if you have any questions, then go to the people that had the word or the books before you, talking about the Israelites. So the Quran is letting them know, look, whatever questions you have about the scriptures or anything, go to the Israelites and let them tell you, right? And this is the type of information that we have to arm ourselves with when we go into our people, because a lot of our people are still stuck in the slave religion of Islam, you know. And just like they say, some of our people are stuck in the slave religion of Christianity. Well, they both were slave religions, right? Because even though we know that Christianity that had existed in Africa and things like that, and in Ethiopia and different places long before it existed in Europe and America and different things like that. But when we talk about the slave religion of Christianity, we're mostly talking about the interpretation in America that they gave us about this word and brainwashed our people about things that this book don't say and gave that information like the scriptures actually said that. You know, that's the religious part of it that was wrong. Not that the word was wrong, the book was true. So when we finally, when the Almighty finally called us as individuals in all our different times, and we be called some younger, some at an older age, whatever age he called you, and you start to open your mind to his word and his understanding, then you realize, wait a minute, all of that stuff they told me from a youth is not nowhere to be found in these scriptures. You know, so that's what we're dealing with. And it's the same thing with the religion of Islam, because Islam was forced upon our people in Africa when our people were scattered throughout Africa for 1,500 years. After we fled into Africa after 70 AD, then the Arab slave traders held our people as slaves and converted and forced many of our people to accept Islam. That's how we got to be Muslims. All right. And so, yeah, that's how we got to be Muslims. So, you know, I think that is a very good thing to bring up, though, when we talk to our brothers and sisters in whatever form of Islam, whether it's the Nation of Islam, whether it's Sunni, Shiite, let's see, what's the other one? Sunni, Shiite, or the Nation of Islam, or the United Nation of Islam, is all different branches of Islam. So, you know, we have to establish this day. It must be established among our people because it can bring great, great light and great understanding. So at least I can say this as well from what I checked out in the Quran. The Quran actually does tell the Muslims to keep Friday as well. So according to the Quran, they should be keeping both. I can't say that for the Christians, you know. Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell them that, you know, Sunday is a day set apart or set aside to be holy as the Sabbath is described. You know, you don't find that in the scriptures. So that's another thing that, you know, we always have to bring out to the people, to bring light, to share light, share edification always. That's what we always seek to do. Not to tear people down, but to bring light and to tear people up, to bring truth, different things like that. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to tear down a doctrine in order to build up the truth, you know. But it's much more favorable and it's much more profitable to just go right to the building phase, go right to building, you know. But unfortunately, we can't always do that. Sometimes we don't have to deal into different teachings first, different understandings, and tear those down first so we can build up whatever is true. And that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. But let me read a few more scriptures concerning the Sabbath day. So, like I said, we read many so far, but let's go to let's see, where do I want to go now? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 56. So, like you see, we can read these verses in the Old Testament. We can read them in the New Testament, showing the life of the Messiah. We can read them when the apostles kept the Sabbath day after the Messiah was born. I mean, it's all through the book, all through the book. So, all right, where are we at? Isaiah chapter 56. Let's read verses 2 through 7. The book of Isaiah. Chapter 56, starting in verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. So the Most High is saying here, look, you're blessed if you do two things. Keep your hand from doing any evil, and you're blessed if you keep the Sabbath from polluting it. What does it mean to pollute the Sabbath? That means to do anything on the Sabbath that the Almighty commanded you not to do. All right, verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that have joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuch that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that they shall not be cut off. Verse 6. And why is the Almighty going to do this? He's blessing these people. Why? For keeping his Sabbath day. Look what it says in verse 6. Also, the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh to be his servant. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and take hold of my covenant, even them will I bring into my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. All right. So he says, everyone that keeps it, he'll bring to his holy mountain and make them joyful in his house of prayer. Then it says, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So we can see here that even non-Israelites are told to keep the Sabbath, and non-Israelites can be joined on to the Almighty's people, and non-Israelites will also be blessed for keeping the Sabbath day. So by looking at this verse, we can't go and say, well, this is only for the Jews or this is only for Israelites. The Almighty explicitly says here to the sons of the, all the strangers, all the other races or nation of people, if they keep his Sabbath day, the Almighty is going to bless them as well. And the Almighty is going to allow them to be joined on to his people, and they're going to be blessed, and they're going to reap blessings for doing what the Almighty had required them to do. All right? So this Isaiah 56, verse 2 through 7. So let's just stay in this same book of Isaiah, and let's go to chapter 58. And then after that, we're going to go back to the New Testament. We can go back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament. So we're in Isaiah 58. And I'll read verses 13 and 14. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy unto Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. So we're supposed to honor the Most High, Yahweh, on that day. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. All right, so we see another blessings being promised to those that obey the Most High. Just like any other father, you're only gonna give blessings to your children that obey. All right. And that's what the Most High is. He is a father unto us. For all those that obey the Most High, he is a father unto us. All right, now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. We'll get there. I'll just read verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go through it. So what is that saying? Why did I read that? Enter into the straight gate. What it says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And that's what we're seeing when we're comparing the Sabbath day versus most of our people going to church or worshiping on Sunday, which nowhere in the scriptures is it commanded for us to keep Sunday as a holy day. All right? So that's the broad way, because they're all doing that. All the Baptists, the Catholics, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Witnesses, the whoever, they're all doing that. They're all going the broad way. And then you have a small flock going that narrow way of keeping the Sabbath day. They're going that narrow way, right? But it let us know that you have to go narrow way. We look at verse 14. It says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. So it's only going to be a few people that find that narrow way. But how do you know which way is right? If the things that you believe and the things that you do, you can read them in Scripture, then you're going on that narrow path, right? But if the things that you do and the things that you believe and all the holidays that you keep, you can't find them nowhere in the Almighty Scripture, then you go on that broad way. When you're doing, looking like everything the world do, that's the broad way. That way leads to destruction, all right? When you believe that January the 1st is the new year. When the Almighty told you when to keep the new year, then you're in the broad way. That way leads to destruction, right? When you keep Christmas and you don't find it anywhere in the Almighty's word, you're in the broad way. That way leads to destruction. When you keep Easter and the Most High didn't command you to keep that, that's the broad way. That way leads to destruction because many are going that way, all right? But the narrow way is when we go to Leviticus 23 and we can see where the Almighty commanded his people to keep the Sabbath day. That's the narrow way. That's what the Messiah did. That's what Moses did. That's what Jeremiah did, right? That's what Paul did. When we stay in Leviticus 23 and the Almighty told his people to keep the holy day that he called the Passover, right? And every year when we keep the Passover, we have our group of people and the whole world is just running around doing their business and don't even know this is a holy day. But because we're a part of that straight and narrow gate that few people will find a way, right? But why are only few people finding a way? Because the Almighty let us know this in the prophets. He let us know that his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We have to have knowledge. We have to begin to read. We have to begin to search and seek out. We can't just believe anything that's put in front of us, and people are not proving these things unto us, all right? So for those of our people that are still going to church on Sunday and still in traditional religions and things like that, start to ask questions, right? Start to study independently on your own. Start to just ask your pastor certain questions, and if he can't give you an answer out of the scripture, then go and ask someone else, right? And then you'll find you'll start to really learn things when you do that. But as long as you just sit there and just play and play like a sheep and just follow whatever the status quo is, and you don't even know why you're doing certain practices, because most people, any religious practices, most people can't even tell you why they're even doing this. If you ask the average Christian, why do you celebrate Christmas? They don't know. And a lot of them think they know. They'll say because it's Christ's birthday. And those of us that know, that's just a total lie. There's no evidence anywhere that that was Christ's birthday. There's tons of evidence, and not only evidence, it's actually a known fact that it was not. It's actually a known fact that before the person we call Christ was ever born, people was already celebrating Christmas for years and years before that. It never had anything to do with his birthday, but it was somebody's birthday. When you look in history and you find out what they were really doing, they were worshiping the sun in the sky. It was the sun, S-U-N, the sun god's birthday, which was a pagan god that the Romans worshiped. It was his birthday, right? So, and these are just a few facts of history that we have to begin as a people to, we have to begin to question things that is not in the scripture. If we're doing things claiming to worship the Most High in certain ways, the Messiah said this. He said, you have to worship me as, he said, he that believes on me as the scripture has said. And that's a problem with a lot of our people because they think they can believe on him any type of way that they want to. Whatever they like to do, that's how they think they can believe on him. But he said, he that believes on me as the scripture has said. That's very important. Because if you do not believe on him as the scripture said, then you're actually believing on, as Paul talked about, another Christ. There is a counterfeit. Everything, you know, like a lot of religions will have things like it's a good and a bad, or yin and a yang, and all these different things. Everything that the Most High does, Satan has a counterfeit, okay? The Almighty has the Sabbath day. Satan come and counterfeit with Sunday, right? The Almighty has his holy days, such as Passover. During the springtime, Satan counterfeits with Easter, right? The Almighty has the Feast of Unleavened Bread during the spring. Satan counterfeits with not only Easter, but that whole Lent and Ash Wednesday, all that stuff in the same time, you know? And notice the similarities, but yet and still so different. Because when we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Almighty commanded us to abstain from eating leavened bread for 7 days. But what do the counterfeit do during the springtime? They keep something called Lent, and they abstain from something for so many days, right? What did they get this from? Satan has a counterfeit all the way through, all right? In the fall time, we'll be keeping the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and Satan's going to have a counterfeit of Halloween. And a lot of people don't realize that Halloween was always actually a Christian holiday. And when I say a Christian holiday, that's not a good thing. It was a Catholic holiday, but it was a day to worship like dead people that have died and passed on and different things like that. It's not a good thing when I say a Christian holiday. The only thing that are good to keep and to celebrate that are righteous is all the days that the Almighty commanded us to do. And we can read them throughout the pages of the Most High's book. So a lot of people come to us and say, well, what is this you're keeping? What is this Passover? What is this Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, it's written in the commandments of the Most High, and it's written all through the book. And I'll show you, just as we read these different verses concerning the Sabbath day, these are here as well. But let's go to the book of James, chapter 2. So we're back to the scriptures. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 2. And actually, before I read this one, I'll take my first caller. I have a caller online with their hand up. I have a question or comment. Shalom, shalom, area code 513. You on the air? All right, shalom. Go back to you. Area code 513. You on the air? Maybe they might have hit number one by mistake. All right, so I'll just continue with the book of James. We're going to go to chapter number 2, verse 21 through 24. James chapter 2, starting at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed Elohim, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Elohim. Look at verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not faith only. All right? So again, James is saying here that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, right? Because if you truly have faith, then you're going to do the work that the Almighty told you to do. If you really believe in the Most High, right, and you know that the Most High commands you to keep the Sabbath, then that's going to be your work. Then you're going to actually do it. So we only have about 1 minute left on the show, so I'm going to just end it here. But again, just encourage more of our family members to come out, keep a holy convocation with us, just meet at the people's houses, try to wake up more of our people that we know from other walks of life, from family and friends, and just people that we meet on the streets, and whoever we meet, we always got to be diligently seeking, and our people is like a each one teach one type of thing, you know? So just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening in, and shalom, shalom.